Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Amen. John chapter number 4, and I'll read a few verses to you this morning. John chapter number 4, and if you're visiting with us today, thank you so much for being with us today. There's a lot of other places you could have chose to go to church, but we sure are thankful. A lot of other things you could have chose to do this morning, but we're thankful that you're here with us at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. It's always great to see visitors, isn't it, church? And we appreciate you being here, and if you're looking for a church, there's no need to look any further. You just found one. Amen. You say, I'm crowded. I just showed you there is hope on the way. Amen. And give us a little bit of time. We're working diligently on that. Amen. John chapter number 4. I had all intentions of preaching on I Find No Fault in Him this morning. And yesterday evening, I was going up the road. And I know it's going to be hard for y'all to believe this. Y'all probably never battle with anything like this. But I was having just a little bit of a pity party. Now, come on, don't die on me right there, because you have big ones. I have big ones. I don't go to a tree like Elijah did. I go to the forest and I take a cake with me. Amen. When I have a pity party sometimes. But just the past few weeks, man, it's just been several different things and nothing within the church. Just, and I don't know if you understand this or not, but pastors have personal lives too that deals with personal things just like you do on top of the church things that they deal with. And man, I was just having a little bit of a pity party. I'm not going to lie, Bailey, and I was coming up the road, and the Lord give me these verses, and man, I've chewed on them and chewed on them and chewed on them through the night, and just a few minutes ago after the coffee and donuts before Sunday school, I went in my office, and I've got an extraordinary outline wrote down this morning, and the Lord just gave me a couple of things, and I wrote it down, and I want to give it to you this morning if the Lord will help us, and we'll preach a little bit. If he don't start helping us, we'll just go to the house. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. John chapter number 4 is an exciting chapter in the Word of God. And man, I love John chapter number 4. There's so much going on here. And honestly, we could preach all of June on John chapter number 4 and never scratch the surface of everything that's happening. But let's see what's going on. Verse number 4 says this, and he must needs go through Samaria, talking about Jesus. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And I don't have time to preach all of that, but if you'll go back and study their manners and customs and the culture of that time, that was a big thing that Jesus even spoke to her, being a Jew and her a Samaritan. Verse number 10 said this, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Boy, I like this right here. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I may not, or that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come thither. Boy, the story's fixing to take a turn right here. Look what the Bible said in verse number 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith, could you imagine, time out just a minute. Could you imagine her? Who is this guy that's talking to me? Is he a fortune teller? Did he rub a crystal ball? Did he look into my palm? No, it's Jesus. Look what the Bible said. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Look at verse number 2. I want to use it as a springboard. Verse number 22. Bible said this, Ye worship, ye know not what. If you're underlining your Bible, I'd invite you to underline these next few words. We know what we worship. We know what we worship. And I want to preach on this thought. How I know what I worship. How I know what Jesus said, we know what we worship. You don't have a clue what you're worshiping, but we know what we worship. Father, I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd illuminate our mind, God. Preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, I want to look into this, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to spend a great deal of time dealing with everything that's going on in this chapter. I really just want to center in on that statement. We know what we worship. You know, we're living in a day and in an age today where people don't know nothing. Now, somebody help me. Now, boys, if y'all going to sit up here, you got to holler amen when the preacher says, somebody help me. All right, you ready? Now, somebody help me. Amen. Amen. There we go. All right, here we go. People don't know nothing. You say, well, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying people don't know nothing today. They're confused about this. They're confused about that. I'm not going to deal with people being confused about who they are or what they are or which bathroom they go to. But we're living in a day and age where it's the smartest as far as book smarts of anybody we've ever had. But they're dumb as a box of rocks in a lot of places. We're living in a day and age where people would rather worship a tree. Now somebody say amen. 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 Boy, we're going to have church this morning. Can you make that thing sound like an organ? Boy, if you can, we'll get Tim back up here on the bass and we'll tear something up today. Now listen to me. In all honesty, they worship the tree. They worship animals today. You probably get off easier with killing somebody than somebody's animal a lot of times. And Jesus looks at this little lady of Samaria and says, hey, you don't have a clue what you worship. But he says this, we know what we worship. Can I say something to you today? I know who and what I worship today. I'm not confused about it. I know who I worship today. Here's four reasons this morning I know who I worship. I'll preach fast. I know we're usually already halfway through the message. Stay with me. Number one, here's the reason I know who I worship today. Number one, because of the Christ I encountered. because of the Christ I had an encounter with. You know what that word encounter means? Here's what it means. An unexpected or casual meeting with somebody. Can I just say this to you? There was a day that I had an unexpected meeting with somebody. You see, I went to church. I was 16 years old and I went that night, to be real honest, because my daddy made me go, and it was youth camp and there was a bunch of teenage girls there, and I wanted every one of them's number. That was pretty. Let me throw that in there. I wanted all of them's number. Now, I'm just being honest with you tonight. That's the reason I went to church. But when I got to church that night, somebody besides mama was there. Somebody besides daddy was there. Somebody besides the preacher was there. Somebody besides all of those girls was there. It was the Holy Ghost of God showed up that night at Turner's Creek Baptist Church. And I had an encounter with Christ that night. Here this lady is. She's going about her day. She's waited to the hottest part of the day to go to the well. The reason she waited to the hottest part of the day, if you've not figured it out yet, she's been married 5 times and she's living with somebody now. So probably the women in the community didn't like her. Now somebody say amen. Amen. You're going to have to holler louder so they can hear you. Probably the ladies didn't like her. So you know what she done? She went out there in the hottest part of the day, didn't expect nobody to be out there at the well that day. She was just going about her everyday life, headed to her everyday business. And when she showed up at the well, there was somebody else sitting at the well. She walked up and began to get water. And guess what? That individual struck up a conversation with her. She didn't go to the well looking for him. But he came to the well looking for her. I didn't go to church looking for him. Oh, but I sure am glad for that day that he came to church looking for me. He knew her condition. He knew everything she had done in her life. He gave her her life's history in a nutshell. But he still loved her. He still cared for her. He still showed compassion to her. That day, you say, how do you know what you were? Because of the Christ I encountered. I had an unexpected, amen, I had an unexpected visit with somebody one night, July the 20th, 1994. How do you know? Number one, because of the Christ I encountered. Number two, because of the change I experienced. Because of the change that I experienced. Now, I wasn't a bad boy. Somebody say amen. 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 I wasn't a bad boy. I was not mean. I was a little mischievous every once in a while. Was it last Sunday I got to talking about some of my mischievousness and mom and daddy wasn't here? We're not going back down that road. I hope they didn't listen to the podcast because I said a lot of things they didn't have a clue about. I was not mean. I was not into a bunch of trouble. I've never came home drunk. I've never came home high. I'm just being honest with you. In the world's eyes, I was a good boy. In the world's eyes. And you know what? There's a lot of people today that in the world's eyes, they're good old boys. They're good old boys. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have an encounter with Christ, you're going to die and go to hell one day. That night at 16 years old, when I had an encounter with Christ, I'll never forget, boy, I walked to the adult men's prayer room. I knelt down underneath the thermostat in there. I prayed and asked God to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and change me. Hear me and hear me well. There was a change took place in my life. There was a change. What did the Bible say? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There is a change that takes place. You say, well, preacher, I still do the same things. I still walk the same way. I still live the same life that I've always lived after I got saved and before I got saved. You didn't get what I got. I'm just telling you, you didn't get what I got. You didn't get what this lady got either. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said this in verse number 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee are he. She says, go back to verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She said, he said, you're talking to Messiah. Amen. Look what she said in verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The Bible said in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto who? The men. She went back to who she knew best. God sent her back to the people that would see the difference in her life. She went back and said to the men, look, she didn't say, hey, I kicked the old man out. I'm looking for a new person. Me and my boyfriend split up, and I'm in the market for another. No, look what she said. She went running in. Now, I'm just going to slow down a minute, and if we don't get out at 10 minutes after 12, we don't. Okay, I'm just going to preach a minute. Can you imagine if she's running through the street? She's a harlot, okay? That's what she is. She's a harlot. She goes running through the street. No doubt three or four of the sister wiggle jawses. Gertrude, Bertha better than you. Yeah. Well, there's Sally goes. There ain't no Sallys in here, is there? There Sally goes again. I guess her boyfriend's broke her heart and she's going to go find another man. I don't even know if there's any more in the town that she can find that she hadn't already been with. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you. What's she running about now? I guess she's made one mad. I probably looked behind her to see if there was a wife running behind her that was trying to whoop her. Are you with me? What's she running about? I don't know, but I guarantee you one thing. I bet she'll stop down there with all them men sitting at the Spitting Whittle Club. She'll whip up in Oak Grove Market when she gets down there. Y'all know that's right. In the morning, sitting around eating biscuits, drinking whole milk. Somebody say amen for whole hog sausage and whole milk. Somebody say amen. They ain't got a clue what whole hog sausage is. She goes running into where all the men's at. And probably in their mind... they're thinking, what's wrong with her now? One of us is going to have to give her money for the rent. She probably hadn't got nothing to eat. She's wanting some money. And when the door flies open and she steps in, one of them looks over at the other and goes, something different about her. I don't know what it is, but something different about her. Her whole countenance has changed. And here's what she says, verse number 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She goes running in and goes, hey, boys, I know I've been by a lot of times and told you about a lot of people. Oh, but I sat over there at the well a while ago. There was a man came by like I've never met before. He went to telling me everything that ever I did. He didn't shun me. He didn't push me away. Oh, but he gave me eternal life. And I just come to tell you, my life's not the same anymore. I've encountered Christ, and there's a change that's taking place. I know because of the change that I experienced. My life was different. When I went to church, it just wasn't going to church no more. It was going to church. Can I say that again? Miss Shannon, when I went back to church that next morning, because we was in youth camp and I had morning service on Thursday morning, and when I went back, it just wasn't going to church. Oh, but when they began to, hallelujah, when they began to sing those songs, it was something different in my soul, Miss Annette. When the preacher got up and read the Bible, it was something different. That Bible come to life. Those songs came to life. There was a change. Change that took place in my life. You say, how do you know what you were? Well, because of the Christ I encountered, the change I experienced. Number three, after those two songs with the choir, I about need some oxygen. Number three, how do you know? How do I know what I was? Because of the chastisement I endure. I didn't say I enjoyed it. You know, my daddy's here this morning. God bless him. And him and my mama, I've said this a million times, but I'm going to say it a million and one. Anybody else's mom and daddy ever looked at you and said, "Now, honey, this is going to hurt me worse than it does you." And I always wanted to say, "Well, big boy, give me the belt and you turn around. That way it'll hurt me worse." That's the whole object of this, isn't it? Is to halfway kill me. My mama would say that. And then mama would grab an arm. Come help daddy preach. Mama would grab an arm. And it was like a whip. Fwah, 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 fwah. Up on the bed. Down off the bed. I think it was what she done for aerobics. And I always said, "This is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you." Really? I mean, is this reverse psychology or something? The first time I had to ever correct Madeline and pop Madeline was in the kitchen floor at our house in East Bend. She would not pick her stuff up. And I told her two or three times. And she finally just looked at me and said, "No." And I said, you know, my mom would be like, "Mm." I was like, "Honey, we're going to count to three. One." My mom and daddy couldn't count to one. I'd have shouted for three. They couldn't count to one. They failed math. Simple math. They failed it. If you pay them for a CD and you're getting changed back, you better recount it. A one. Now, Madeline, you need to do that. One. Madeline, you need to get it. No. One. Come on. Anybody else ever been like? And I said, "Madeline, honey, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you." And I thought, I'm getting old. That's what my parents told me. But boy, I realized how true that was. And the reason that my parents done that to me was because they loved me and because I was their son, and God had given me to them for them to train me, not for me to train them. Parents, you need to figure that out. God didn't give you kids so you could readjust your life. God gave you kids so you could train them to be good, fine, outstanding citizens, saved and on their way to heaven. Amen. You said, "Preacher, how do you know you're saved? Or how do you know who you worship?" Because of the chastisement that I endure. Mama never got done beating me, and I said, "Thank you, I love you." She probably made me tell her I loved her three or four times, but it wasn't voluntary. I'm just being real. But looking back, it's probably the reason I'm here today. Watch this. Listen, let me read you something. I'm moving. I'm about done. Hebrews 12, verse number 5. Look at verse number 3. "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth," here it is, "he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons." That's what the Word of God just said. Let me tell you the reason I know who I worship. Because, Brother Tim, when I do wrong, he smacks me upside the back of the head. You say literally know a whole lot more than literally. Amen. So, preacher, how do you know who you worship? Number four. Come start playing. Number four. Because of the Christ I encountered, the change I experienced, the chastisement I endure. But number four, because, watch this, the comfort I enjoy. The comfort that I enjoy. Listen to what he said in John chapter number 14. I like the Bible, don't y'all? John chapter number 14, listen to what he said in verse number 16. Verse number 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Jesus is fixing to ascend back into the heavens. Jesus is leaving his disciples. They've walked with him. They've talked for 3.5 years. They've lived with him. They've watched everything that he's done. He's been their best friend for 3.5 years. He's fixing to leave them, and here's what he says. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Look in verse number 26 of John 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Let me tell you the reason I know who I worship. Because in those deep, dark moments of my life, when it seems that everything's gone wrong, there's something deep down inside me that I just can't explain. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about it being joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll never forget, and I've used this illustration before, but I want to use it again and I'm done. Several years ago, in fact it was 2016, it was a week ago yesterday in 2016, Brother Brady went home to be with the Lord. Camden and Nicole's here this morning. His grandpa's here this morning. Very unexpectedly, at 13 years old, he went home to be with the Lord. I'll never forget it. To the day I die, I'll never forget the ride. Me and Miss Vicky riding over there together. Tim went before we did. After Tim left, I looked at Miss Vicky and I said, I'm afraid that that's Brady. Several of us in here has all been involved in fire service and EMS and stuff for years. And I told Vicky, I said, you need to go with me. She jumped in the truck with me. We took off over there. I'll never forget where Kevin and Nicole was at when I pulled in the driveway. I'll never forget where we sat in the yard as they went inside to check on Brady. I'll never forget. We came back that afternoon. I called all of our youth group together. We've always had a very close youth group. I called all of our youth group together. The last time Brady was in church, he sat right there and he stood up. And he bragged on the Lord and talked about how good God was to him and how thankful he was to be saved and part of a good youth group in our church and his parents that loved him. He sat right there, the last service, and stood up and testified. I got our youth group together. We met here. If I'm not mistaken, as Brother Cardwell came, talked to all of us. We told our youth group that Brady had went home to be with the Lord. Boy, it just devastated all of us. I left. I talked to the kids a little while and I left. Went back over to Kevin and Nicole's house. And when I got back over there, Kevin was standing outside by himself. He had a Toyota truck then. And he was standing at the back of that truck. And whenever we pulled up, I told Leslie, I said, I'm just going to walk out here with Kevin. And I said, you just go on in the house and I'll be in there in a minute. I walked out there to Brother Kevin and I didn't ask him how he was doing because that was a pretty dumb question to ask. I said, how you holding up? And here's exactly what Kevin looked at me and said. I don't even know if he remembers it. Here's what he looked at me and said. He said, well, preacher, the way I'm making it is every once in a while, there's a little breeze comes through and lets me know that everything's going to be all right. You know what he was saying? Here's exactly what he was saying. Every once in a while, the Holy Ghost, that comforter. Every once in a while, the Holy Ghost just sits down beside of me and says, everything's going to be all right. You know what? There's a lot of times in our life that we face hardships. We face troubles. Some of us in this church deals with a lot of tragedy, sometimes on weekly basis and sometimes on daily basis. We deal with tragedy. And let me tell you how I can look at families when I do a death notification or when I tell them their loved one's been involved in an accident in what hospital. Let me tell you the reason I can look at them and know that they'll be all right. Here's the reason why. There's a comforter. There's a comforter. You said, preacher, I don't know how to ever make it through that. Well, hear me and hear me well. If you've never had an encounter with Christ, you're probably not going to make it through that. But I've got real good news today. If you've never had an encounter with Him, He's passing by this morning. Here's what He's saying. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You said, preacher, you don't know what I've been. You don't know the life that I've lived. You don't know the things that I've done. Hey, it don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what you've done. What about the Gadarean maniac? Jesus didn't push him off to the side. You know what he done? He loved him that day while he was naked running around in the tombs cutting himself. And you know what happened? He left clothed and in his right mind. Jesus will change your life. And you can have a deep settled peace inside your soul. My closest friends are here this morning. It's my wife and my mom and my daddy. My closest friends in this world. My kids are sitting here. And let me tell you something. There ain't no may if the Lord doesn't come back or take me before. The day will come that I'll have to do as our youth director did just a few days ago. And I'll have to bury my family. I'll have to bury my mama. I'll have to bury my daddy. But you know what, Brother Wade? When that day comes, I'm going to have that same Holy Ghost that helped you when you buried your little wife. Miss Tanya, that same Holy Ghost that helped you when you buried your mom and your daddy. Brother Kevin, that same Holy Ghost that helped you. I've got a comforter inside my soul that will never leave me nor forsake me. That's the reason I know who I worship. I know, yeah, there's times He corrects me. Yeah, there's times He smacks me around, Brother Andy, but I'm thankful for that. It lets me know I'm His. Lets me know I'm His. So, preacher, I don't know who I worship. Well, I can tell you something. I know who I worship today. I know who I worship. Father, as we...